God's rest. Many of us have a hard time falling asleep at night. I know I did last night. No matter what I did to try to settle my thoughts, they continued to flit from one idea to another. And although there was nothing major for me to worry about, and I'd had a very long and busy day, I still couldn't settle my mind into restful thoughts. Unfortunately, I'm not alone. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that 1 in 3 adults in the United States aren't getting enough daily rest, which results in 40% of adults falling asleep sometime during the day. Yet it isn't only adults that struggle, for 1 in 4 teens suffer from insomnia, a condition that seems to be leading to a mental health crisis. Nor is it only Americans that are struggling. Studies indicate that 51% of adults worldwide report that they don't get enough sleep at night, and 80% try to make up for their lack of rest over the weekend, trying to use their off hours to regain the sleep they've lost. What is it that keeps us up at night? A 2,000-person survey indicates that 41% are plagued by next-day anxiety, and 37% replay the day's events in their minds in an attempt to correct the wrongs they thought they committed. Still others are sleep-deprived due to a too large caffeine intake or physical injuries such as back or joint pain and even heartburn. Add to this a concern over a spouse or a child, and our minds won't allow us to get the rest we need. Nor does our bodies adequately benefit from trying to recoup through brief naps during the day. The cumulative effect of sleep deficiency is severe, as it can impact our ability to work or study at our optimum level, and we have problems making decisions and solving problems, even remembering things. Our reaction time is slower, which can be dangerous when we're driving or using machinery, and we're likely to make more mistakes. Not only does lack of sleep take its toll on our physical and mental health, but our emotions become jangled and we struggle to cope with challenges or changes and often can't read people's own emotions or mental state, creating havoc in our relationships with others. I can remember this happening years ago after I consumed too many cups of coffee, tossing and turning throughout the night, my mind a whirl with foolish thoughts. I began to imagine things about a relationship that simply weren't true and suffered from my misdiagnosis in the months to come. I now avoid caffeine after my morning 2-cup limit, but with the current obsession with flavored coffee and highly caffeinated beverages, it's certain that many millions of people do not. As Christians, though, God tells us that we can be at peace, even though our world is not. I've told you all this, Jesus says, that you might have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Jesus explained to his anxious listeners that this was his truth. In fact, knowing the uncertainties and challenges his disciples were facing, Jesus promised, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." It's in accepting this truth that we won't replay the day's events or worry about tomorrow, a truth he addresses in his Sermon on the Mount. Recognizing that most of his audience were the poor and oppressed, who faced innumerable challenges, he reminded them, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" And then he patiently explains that God provides for birds and lilies, and so will he not also provide for your food and clothing? The minds of unbelievers, he says, are tormented by these things, but you, who believe, can trust that your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Not only do we trust that God will provide, the Apostle Paul also advises us not to worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. For His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. The writer of Hebrews also speaks of this rest, saying, "For this good news that God has prepared, this rest has been announced to us, for only we who believe can enter His rest." He makes it clear that God intends for us to enjoy His rest, a plan set in motion when He created the world. And then He proceeded to offer this rest to His children when He freed them from their Egyptian oppressors, promising to go ahead of them and defeating their enemies so that they could enjoy peace on every side. But they refused to listen and obey. Instead of grumbling and complaining, even longing to return to their Egyptian slave masters, instead of living by the grace and mercy of their loving Heavenly Father. Because of their rebellion, God warned that they could not enter the promised land and abide in His rest. But He appeals to us, saying, "Today, when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts, because there remains a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fail. Thus, it's our choice to enter God's rest. He makes it freely available to us, and the door is always open for us to walk through. And that door is Jesus and obedience to Him. It's through Jesus that we can enter the Holy of Holies and gain access to the very presence of God. Nor do we stand condemned, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Thus it isn't our work or our worries that bring us to a place of rest, for Christ has already done the work on the cross. Rather, we are to trust in Him and His complete work of redemption in order to achieve the rest He's promised. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong and trustworthy as an anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us to bring His peace for our world-weary souls. This assures us of spiritual peace, but what about our emotional peace? Much of our emotional peace is eroded by fractured relationships, some caused by our own hand and others by the hand of others. But what does Jesus say? Our emotional peace can be gained by forgiveness. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Our forgiveness is not to be dependent on the behavior or words of another, but our heart choice to forgive even when wronged. It's setting the other person free, but also setting ourselves free of anger and condemnation and revenge. As Paul explains to the Romans, "So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Besides the cost to our mental health, worry can also cause us physical problems, heart disease, muscle aches and pains, improper digestion and ulcers, diabetes, and even asthmatic attacks can all be attributed to persistent anxiety. All of these things are totally contrary to what God wants for us, who tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as Proverbs says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy is like a cancer to the bones. God also recognizes our financial worries can disrupt our peace. Besides trusting in God to meet our daily needs, Jesus explained on the Sermon on the Mount, He also showed that He can create miracles even to meet our responsibilities like taxes, and when He placed the coin in the fish's mouth. Yet He also applauds those who sacrificially give even when they have a little. For He says He will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. And so, like He says, pressed down, shaken together, and making room for more, that's what He does, running over and poured into our lap. By bringing God our first fruits, we acknowledge Him as the giver of all things and one worthy of all praise. And by our generosity, He measures our own. So therefore, let us enjoy the peace that He brings in every area of our lives and abide in His rest today. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.